Good morning. How are we doing? Oh, thank you. That one person who said good morning back. I appreciate that. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to preach, and then we're going to have fun. Okay, wow, I'm just throwing everything all over the place. Cool. Dear Lord, thank you that we can gather this morning and listen to your word. I pray that I will be able to speak well and deliver the message that you want to be delivered to this congregation this morning. Amen. Cool. And before I start off, I want to tell you a story, and I want to take you back a few years, okay? I want to take you through a little journey through time. Ladies and gentlemen, the year is 1998. The Football World Cup is hosted in France. Titanic becomes the first film to make over $1 billion in the box office. The Winter Olympics were held in Japan. Backstreet Boys were back, all right. Thank you. And I reached the grand age of two. Thanks. But our story doesn't take place in Japan, nor does it take place in France. And our story doesn't involve sinking ships, or toddlers, or rocking your body now. Our story instead takes place in New Zealand. And no, our story isn't focused on the pre-production of Lord of the Rings. New Zealand has other things going for it. Our story focuses on sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud to announce that I am going to be telling the true life story of Shrek the sheep. Now, Shrek was very much like every other sheep. He enjoyed eating grass and what else sheep do. I don't know what else sheep do. They just kind of eat grass, don't they? He did not enjoy, however, being shaved. He was a bit like that 10-year-old boy in your class who never got his hair cut. Do you know the guy? Yeah. It was like that. He hated having his hair cut. And he hated it so much that he decided that he would run away. And he lived in the forests, and he lived in caves. Cool. And he became like Bigfoot. Thank you, Jeff. He became like Bigfoot, walkers claiming to see a stray sheep, taking pictures, writing internet theories that took several hours to load on a computer screen. I remind you that it was 1998. Can we have the next slide, please, Jeff? There you go. He looks like a boulder. In 2004, 6 years after his escape, he was found and brought back home by his owner. And if we go to the next bit, we can see what he looked like after 6 years of not being shaved. It takes, on average, 7-ish minutes to shear a sheep. It took them 20 minutes to shear Shrek. In fact, the shepherd nearly gave up, but the crowd were shearing him on. Thank you. Thank you. This is how much wool there was when Shrek was shaved. It's a lot. News got around and Shrek became a national treasure. He was papped by the paparazzi. And he even went to Parliament to meet the Prime Minister. Bizarre. As I said, New Zealand's got so much going for it. When Shrek was asked how it felt to meet the Prime Minister, he replied, "Meh." Thank you. There's more. In 2007, to celebrate Shrek's 10th birthday party, he was shaved again. This time, they decided to shave him on an iceberg. Because why not? Like, it wasn't like he was going to get cold. Well, probably it was. Shrek was loved by the public and lived a great life, even having an exhibit in a museum that told his story. Unfortunately, Shrek passed away in 2011 at the grand old age of 16. I love that story. I love that story because I think it's a real life story of the story that Jesus told. And the one that Louis read to us so beautifully just then. My first point is this. Jesus loves bad people. I told you there was more. Jesus loves bad people. At the start of the passage, the Pharisees, the teacher of the law, the respected people of the community, were telling Jesus off for eating with bad people, for eating with tax collectors, who were often viewed as bad people because they would take more money than they were meant to and they would pocket it for themselves. Now, I've been using quotation marks whenever I said the words bad people, because here's the thing, no one's truly bad. We're all made in the image of God. We're all created to reflect his goodness. It's just that some do it better than others. Bad people are people who make bad choices. But they themselves are not necessarily bad. I used to run workshops in prisons, and I was often surprised at how nice the prisoners were. I would often go in there like absolutely petrified, like shaking, nearly crying, going, I don't want to do this, it's scary. And I'd go in there and within like 5 minutes, I was completely at ease because the prisoners were actually just really nice people, which you wouldn't think, but they were. And it taught me that actually bad people are just people who have been caught in a cycle of bad things. And my experience of them really challenged me. Everyone makes bad choices once in a while. Some just make worse decisions than others. But the Pharisees still had a point. Why would Jesus hang out with people who did bad things? Why wasn't he sitting with the people who did good things? Well, instead of Jesus telling us the answer, he tells us three stories, which is a little mean of him because it forces us to think, and no one likes to think in the morning or on a weekend. The first story he tells us is about a sheep who gets lost, like our friend Shrek. The second is about a woman who loses a silver coin. And the third is about a son who leaves home. I'm going to break down the first two stories because the third is a whole other sermon, although its message is still the same. Each story has the same starting point. Something gets lost. A sheep, a coin. At the time of speaking, Jesus was talking to people for whom sheep were so valuable. A lot of people would have been shepherds watching their flock by night. Sheep were valuable for lots of reasons. Firstly, their wool. You know, when Shrek was first shaved after 6 years, there was enough wool to make 20 grown men suits. That's a lot of money to be made. Secondly, sheep are valuable because of their meat. And who doesn't love like a good roast lamb with some roast potatoes, mint sauce, and like some gravy poured over? And I'm losing the... Yes, no, back to the thing. I got distracted by food. The silver coins would also be very valuable. In fact, one silver coin is roughly £5 in today's money. So 10 silver coins would have been just about 50 quid in today's money. Think of what you could do with 50 quid. Think of the chocolate you could buy with 50 quid. But Jesus wasn't really talking about sheep or coins. Jesus was talking about us. Because you see, God loves us. God loves you. Not sheep. Not coins. God loves you. And I know what you're thinking. It's a message that you hear a lot in church, and after a while it can start to lose its meaning, especially when we go through tough times or see sad things happening around us. But it's true. We hear it a lot because it's true. God loves you. He thinks you're valuable. He thinks you're worth about 5 quid. He thinks you're worth your weight in wool. And actually, he thinks you're worth way more than that. He thinks you're so valuable that he came down to earth. He became human. And we know firsthand that being human isn't always great. God became human and he felt pain. He felt suffering and he felt sadness, just as we all do. And then he died for us in order to save us, not to judge us, but to save us. And he didn't just die, he died on a cross, which is like one of the most horriblest ways to go. It wasn't quick and it certainly wasn't painless, but he did that for you. Because he thinks you're worth it. Each nail that went into his hand, he never stopped thinking about how much you are worth to him. He didn't stop thinking that you weren't worth the pain. Now you might be sat there thinking, I'm not worth it. I'm not the best in my class. I'm rubbish at football. I make mistakes all the time. I give up way too easily. I'm not the best looking. And maybe you're not the best in your class. Maybe you are rubbish at football. I certainly make mistakes all the time. I give up way too easily. It took me ages to write this because I kept giving up. And you know what? It may shock you, but I'm not the best looking chap in the world either. I mean, have you seen Ryan Gosling? Let's just appreciate that for a second. Wow. But God doesn't care. He doesn't care that you're not perfect. He's not looking for perfection. He wants you to get better, for sure. He wants you to get better. But he doesn't want you to be perfect. He's not looking for perfection. If he was, none of us would stand a chance. Let those without sin cast the first stone. You are not perfect. But you are so worth it. God thinks you're worth the tears, the stress, the frustration, and the sacrifice. And he wants to be with you. He wants to live your life with you. So he searches for you. He doesn't give up trying to find you. He doesn't give up on you, even if you give up on him. For you see, Jesus wasn't talking about getting lost in the sense that we think of, like when you lose someone in the supermarket. Jesus is talking about a deeper sense of being lost. There's many definitions for being lost. Here's three that I think are really relevant to this story. The first one is this: to be deprived of or cease to have something. The second is to become deeply absorbed in something. And the third is to fail to take advantage of time or an opportunity. Big, fancy meanings of the word lost, but true nonetheless. How often do we feel that we are missing something? Longing for something that we can't have. Desperately searching for joy, for happiness or love. And not finding it, no matter where we look. How often do we become deeply absorbed in something? Watching a series on Netflix for such a long time that the TV resorts to checking that you're still alive and watching. Gawping at something you've seen online and looking at the price and thinking, can I really afford that? Maybe. Do I really need it? No. Do I want it? Yes. Should I get it? I don't know. And then you click off the tab and then you reopen it a few seconds later because you really do want it and you shouldn't kid yourself that you don't want a Mickey Mouse pizza cutter. But how often do we realize that we have failed to take advantage of time or an opportunity? Because God offers them to us all, every day. But we often miss them. In the conversations we have with people, in the choices we make, and in the ultimate choice of choosing to follow Jesus. God wants us to be found. Not so that we can die happily, but so we can live happily. Do you know, if Shrek hadn't been shaved after 6 years, the weight of the wool on his back would have crushed him. God doesn't want us to be crushed by the way that we live. He wants to get rid of that weight and that burden. He wants us to live freely in a way that will give us way more joy than we can ever imagine. He wants us to be found so we may know life in all its greatness. Not death, life in all its greatness. He wants us to be found so that we may be given the gift of his love and his joy and his peace. He wants us to be found so we know how valuable we are to him. So that we don't give in to the lies that the world shouts at us. The lies that we're not good enough. That you have to be the best looking to succeed. That you have to be the loudest voice in the room to get your voice heard. That you're not complete until you're in a relationship. You are not perfect, but you are so totally worth it. You are valuable to the one who made you, who loves you and calls you by name. And if you're not lost, if you've been found and you know the way, and you know this to be true, then it's up to you to go and find those people who are lost. Be with the lost and help them become found again. Rich is probably going to be speaking on this tonight. So if you want to go, come along tonight or listen to it online when it comes onto the website. Jesus says that there is joy in heaven when just one person is found. Today, Heather is going to be baptized. She's running away. Heather is going to be baptized. She is going to become part of God's family. She is on the way to becoming found. There will be a party in heaven today. But why should they have all the fun? When Richard baptizes Heather in a bit, I'd love us to really celebrate. Not just a little Reigate patter of applause, but to like whoop and cheer and scream. I'm looking out and everyone's looking a bit sheepish. But I mean it. Let's really blow the roof off this place. This is an exciting thing that we're going to be witnessing. This is going to be awesome. And I want us to feel that excitement that there is in heaven today. Amen? Nice.